Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to a very special Jake Pentland show. Actually, they're all special. Everyone that works on the show is special. And by that I mean retarded, of course. Anyway, today's show's a little different. We do have Todd Kincannon booked. He is going to call in about 35, 40 minutes. But the beginning of the show, which was originally going to be news and catch-up, is actually going to be a pre-recorded phone call I had with Debbie, the pet lady, yesterday. She called me Friday morning at my work and said that she really wanted to explain to her fans why she is no longer on the Howard Stern show. And I wanted to give her the opportunity to tell her side of the story. And she did. But before you listen to this, I do have to say your feelings on Debbie. A lot of people have problems with her. A lot of people think she's a loud, crazy bitch. And I think she'd be the first to admit that she is. But the real Debbie, I believe, is a sweetheart. I've always had that feeling about it. And I think that comes through on this interview. So the reason I'm doing a little preamble here is because when I went back and listened to it, to edit it down, I realized that I was so emotional during this interview. Debbie really, for whatever reason, she does something to me, and I sound like such a wuss bag. I think at the end of the interview, as she hangs up on me, I think I tell her I love her, and it's creepy. I think I say it two or three times, actually, but honestly, I think I do love Debbie the pet lady. I think this is a tremendous woman who's had a hard life, and I don't make excuses for her behavior. She did threaten to stab somebody on the Stern staff, which is why she's not on. But there's just more to it than Debbie's a bitch. There's a lot more to it. So I hope you listen to this interview with an open mind. And also, I hope you don't judge me for being such a bitch, such a puss bag in this interview. So don't hold it against me. I do say I love you. I'm warning you now. But anyway, enjoy the interview. And then when we come back from this pre-tape, we will be live in studio with Todd Kincannon, who I love that dude. So it's going to be a crazy show with lots of crazy people yelling at each other. But we would not expect any less from a very special Jake Pentland show. Thank you.
Let's just back up a little. It's really important that people know you do have an agreement with Shelley, that because you have a temper and you.
I recorded. He noticed.
Yeah, everyone knows this. So what they do is they let you leave voicemails after hours.
They let me leave the voicemails after hours at a certain time.
And you've called them.
We're allowed to leave our voicemails. And I'm not the only one that leaves them. Everybody calls, because Mike Ganji even told me. I said, I hope they don't get me. I leave messages. He goes, Debbie, everybody leaves messages. You're not the only one that leaves crazy messages on the machines. And even when I talk to Alice, crazy Alice from the show, she told me, Debbie, I call the machines all the time. I threaten them all the time on the machines.
Right.
I say such crazy stuff to them. So I'm not the only one that leaves crazy messages on
those
machines.
What I'm trying to say is they understand that you leave crazy messages on the machine where you scream at them, and that's always been that way. So the point I'm trying to make here, Debbie, for you is that I think it's kind of unfair for them now to say that they're threatened by your message on the machine when that's for 2.5 years that's been the shtick. There's a point here that I'm trying to make. So you, let's back up a little bit.
They know this about me. I leave fucking crazy messages from 2 years. I yell at the machines like nuts. Whether they play on the air, they don't play on the air. I get so myself so worked up on the machines. Like, they should know that's me. You know, they know.
That's
I
my
fucking
point.
Won't
and
say
they
anything.
Of course, and you've also told them that. What you said, sometimes I just get mad and I just need to vent and I just need to leave a message and I'll feel better. So they know this actually kind of helps you with your anger. It's actually kind of a healthy vent for you. Everyone
it's
knows
like
that.
It's like a therapy almost for me.
Right.
As mad as I can get at, they can get me, and I can get at them. I have to release. my thing, I don't understand. You know, after I calmed down and I replayed these shows, I said, wow, I was an idiot. How was he hating on me? Oh, well, you know, and I feel so bad then, you know. But at that moment, when I get on those phone lines, I'm panicking to begin with. I'm not good with these phones. I get nervous, so I think
right.
I stress out more.
Right.
You know, like I feel like everybody's out to get me anyway, so boom.
Right. So this is the thing I've been telling you privately and on my show a few times, is that the conundrum I have with this is that the show knows that you have a temper. They bring you
they
on.
Know
they
this.
Put, well, of course they know it, and they put you in situations where you'll blow up. And it's great radio. That's why I'm a fan of yours. But what the layer behind that where it's sad is that you do have issues. You do have, you know, you're on medicine, you're seeing somebody, and I think they take advantage of you, and I think it's kind of sad. I've been telling you this for some time. You know how I feel about you. And what's really upsetting, and what you really want to leave the message with me today is that you even understand that they do feel threatened a little bit by your messages, and you can even understand them not wanting you on the show anymore. What you don't like is that nobody had the decency to call you directly and say, look, Debbie, we feel threatened. We feel that you're not good for the show. We were going to go our separate ways.
But this was the whole thing that got me. Yeah, I only
that's what I want you to get
out. This was the whole big nutshell and the whole game. Like, I wanted to let my fans know why I'm so mean, why I'm going on this Howard hate kick right now. It's because of the way, even my therapy told me I was in the right to get upset too, because the way they handled this, knowing that I'm having emotional problems to begin with, you know, they know they're dealing with people that have problems, issues, you know, they could have contacted me in a right way. They could have wrote me even a letter stating why they removed me from the show. They weren't even going to tell me. They had no intention of telling me that they removed me off this show like an animal. And if it's because of these threats or because they feel threatened by me, like I'm in some unstableness now, where Shelley News has filled their heads up that I'm an unstable, because a couple of times prior to this, Shelley News, we had some problems before, and I was supposed to go on this block party thing, and I flipped out on him one day, and then he goes, writes me this letter, I'm feeling you're too unstable right now, I can't get the room for you, and then he lied about it on the show, acting like the hotel didn't want me, but it was because he wrote me the letter feeling that I was too unstable because I flipped on the machine. And I said, that's terrible. You know I flipped on the machine. Why don't you just tell the truth why you don't want to get me in the room? Is it because either JD or them don't want me there, or you just want, they want their other regulars at this thing, or you people, or you just pissed off because I flipped on the machine and I cursed you out personally about some things. So either way, he was lying about that crap, and he writes that he's feeling that some psychotic, unstable nut when he's the one who knows firsthand that I flip and
right.
I leave these
everybody.
Stupid messages.
Right. And that's,
you know,
what happened when you
I
were angry. When you
wants, I really think that this John Reporter it doesn't want to work there if I'm there or something. That's why they don't want me on the show for some reason, deeper than what they're doing. Because
yeah, it's probably
I
corporate.
Flip on these whatever, but like I said, the main thing was I'm not an animal. For 2 years, these people made money off me. They made good views off me, and then they couldn't even have the audacity to fucking contact me like a person. Whether I would have flipped or whatever, they should have did it the right way to me, to end things on good terms with me, not make me feel like an animal in here. Like, that does not supposed to hurt me. I didn't deserve to be taken off the show like this. Not this way. So they act like they can never talk to me. I have no contact with this show. And then it was worse. Howard's got this big pool with the networks. So they're telling people like I'm unstable, I'm psychotic, I'm a threat to the people. So now you think anybody's ever going to want me on any big shows or any type of TV stuff? Because Howard's got a big pool in this thing. So now they make me look like I'm not fucking psychotic because I left some stupid messages. And I'm not supposed to get upset like they ruined me.
What would you say if,
like,
I mean, somehow,
like I'm a psychotic nut job? Come on.
You're not.
I'm far from being a psychotic nut, all right? If I was so unstable, the state wouldn't even let me have my kid here today.
That's true.
And that's the joke of it all. Because no matter how mad I get at people, no matter how much they piss me off, my son is my rock here today. He's the one that keeps me together strong, and I'm going to never throw anything of my life away for some stupid assholes on a stupid show.
Debbie, if you could, let's say this got to Gary or Howard. I mean, if you could calmly and succinctly tell
them. I tried so
them.
Many times to leave. You don't even know. I must have left a million sad messages, pleading messages,
not,
begging messages.
No sad. No, Debbie, no
messages,
sad.
Tell them I was
no,
sorry to this point. I cried myself.
Don't apologize. Don't. You have no reason to apologize.
3 weeks I cried like an idiot here, hoping that they would understand why I left those messages, and yet they didn't care. Nobody gave a shit to want to save me. All these people that said they liked me on the show, everybody said they liked me, but yet not one of the staff, not any of these fans would try to contact them to help me to get to keep them, to make them change their minds, to give me another chance, and I know that Howard is the one that does the final. Howard is the one that does the final decisions. So he's the one who put the final decision to take me off the show, which is horrible. You know, I gave him a lot of gifts. Every time I was on those shows, I brought him little gifts, whether they were cheap gifts or whatever, and I gave him a gift. You know, and then he's going to turn around and do this to me because when I was a little unstable for the month because I tried to tell him I'm dealing with other issues, they could have been nice and said, Debbie, maybe you need a break. You know, maybe you
right.
need a, we need to give you a break for a couple of months and then we'll let you back. They didn't have to do it like this to me. I didn't deserve this at all. You know, now I will spend the rest of my time hating that show because, you know, as mean as I could have been to them, and then whatever I, you know, my attitude on that show, but that his show never came with instructions. It never told me the rules, what I was allowed, how far I was allowed to take things or whatever. If they would have had rules, maybe I would have listened. They would have gave me strict warnings. Don't you think I would have listened to them? Not once did they ever warn me and say, Debbie, you're going to have to slow it down with these messages or whatever. We're going to have to remove you. If they would have gave me some kind of warning, I would have listened or I would have walked away from the show. I'd rather have walked away from the show than to be banned like I'm a psychotic nut any day. You have to understand that. I don't even, you think I can ever forgive them for this? No, I won't. I wouldn't even care if they called me and told me, we're sorry, we'll let you back on the show. I would not accept it because it hurt me for 3 weeks like this to be removed like an animal. I wanted to show my son I have something good to show him when he has kids one day. And then he can tell his kids and their grandkids, hey, your mom or your grandma, she was on a big show. Now I can't even use that because they made me leave the show like an animal, like an animal, like I'm a psychotic nut.
Debbie, I've talked to you. I totally understand. I mean, the way I see this, and I think the way most people do, I don't think you're as alone as you think you are. Most people see that this show took advantage of you, that they put you in a situation where they messed with you on purpose, and although you signed on, I mean, you did know.
I signed on for it. I was
yeah,
a grown woman.
I'm not
I knew
saying
I was
they,
getting myself into.
Yeah, I'm not painting you as a victim here, Debbie. I'm just saying that it's unfair that they know that you have anger issues and that they can poke you for radio, but the minute anything sort of goes bad, and you do exactly what you've always done, which is leave a shitty message, that now they can say that we feel threatened and drop you off the show. And like you said, they are treating you like an animal. They just kicked you off the show. And to me, that's the worst part of this all, is that they'll use you up when you're giving them good radio, but the minute they're done or they feel uncomfortable, they just leave you. And I think that's fucking wrong. I think, I love Howard
Thank
Stern.
Thank you. I'm
one
glad
of my
you
heroes.
See the picture. I'm glad you see this.
It's not just me, Debbie. A lot of people do. No, I mean,
they're such a nice people, but then if they were nice people, would they fucking, you know, if somebody was doing their show for this long, not at least give the courtesy and say, you know, do it the proper way, do it a nice way. You want to end things with me, fine, but we could have did it on good terms with each other.
Yeah. That's what they should do to you, though. They should say,
down the road, who knows?
Right.
But they didn't have to be horrible like this to do it like this. Was the worst way to do it to me. I got sick here. You don't even know. I'm lucky that my be strong because God forbid, you know, but I didn't have my mind. It got to the point where I got so sick here because it really hurt me a lot, you know. It was just really horrible. I cried and cried and cried. You know, I never got to be on a big show. My life has been fucking bad. I'm not going to lie. I have a good past. I took a lot of abuse when I was a little kid. You know, I watched my father beat my mom up. I watched my father beat my sister up one time so bad he gave her black and blues, and it was horrible. He put her in a hospital. You know, I ran away. I got myself into a lot of bad stuff, which I'm not proud of. And I did a lot of bad things, but that was way back in my past. And I had reasons for half of the stuff I'd done, but I thought that I was supposed to come to the show maybe to open up. Maybe I would have opened up my life to feel good about myself, you know, because Howard does these stupid interviews. I watch all these big stars open up about their lives and about their crappy past. And I wanted people to like me for me and understand me as a person. And I felt like I was finally coming out of my shell a little bit from being on this show. And now I feel like because I opened up to them about my past on these machines, I scared them. I think they think I'm some kind of monster. Like, you know, I scared them so bad. And meanwhile, people tell you you shouldn't be ashamed of your past. And now I feel like that's it. I'll never open up my past. I'm going right back into my shell again. I don't want to be left alone from this world because I feel like, see, nobody will ever understand you or forgive you. And they made me feel like that after that, so you have to understand that, right?
You have no idea how much I understand, Debbie. I know. I understand. I don't know how to make it. I don't know if you believe me.
And talk to me again is horrible because I didn't deserve that. That's the worst feeling. Like I said, they could have did it on a nice way. We could have ended things on a bad way. You know what happened? I was going to leave the show once, Jake. I was going to leave it once. I left it for like about a month. I blocked it dim. I actually blocked it dim. I blocked the Shelly's numbers. I blocked the show's numbers. They couldn't contact me. And then Shelly broke through my blocks about me like after a month or so. And he talked to me, like, trying to tell me to come back to the show. And then I don't know why I came back just to get planted on the show. And I'm not supposed to be upset. Come on. That's why I wanted to come on and talk about this so the fans can see and understand some of the reasons why I'm so sick here. Why I got this hate now for the show.
Yeah, you
know,
feel hurt. You feel like they used you up and then they tossed you out.
They're making me hate it because it's the only way I can move on. The more I hate him, the more I can feel like I can move on because he hurted me that bad. It wasn't right. I didn't deserve to be hurt like this. This was the worst pain he ever could do to anybody, and I don't wish it on anybody. And it wasn't right. I wasn't that bad of a person. I didn't deserve to be taken off the show like that. They know I'm not going to hurt nobody. I yell, I scream. That's all I do. And I'm sorry. I don't want to keep going on. I had to get it out. You know?
I'm glad you did. Anytime, Debbie.
It just took a lot of abuse. Not to mention from 6 to end for 3 years, I lost my internet show for this crap. You know, I had stalkers mess with my home. I took a lot of crap on the PC with this show. And then they get turned off, turned away like an animal. You know, they make me feel like I'm an animal. And that's the worst feeling to make anybody feel.
Yeah, well, you're not an animal, Debbie.
No. That's how I feel right now.
I know, but you know that you're not an animal.
Talk to my therapy now. She's worried about me. She's got me in therapy, like, even more now. You know, and she even agreed with me, which made me feel good. First, she thought we could write a letter. I told her, forget it. Don't worry, we'll get my letter because they're not going to read it. They're not taking nothing from me. I left so many messages and read it, and they don't want to hear anything I got to say. And that hurts.
You know, the important thing is you get it out. I mean, if they want to be dicks and fuck them, you know, fuck them, Debbie.
I'm sorry.
Don't say sorry to me.
This interview this way because I didn't want to cry in front of my son right now.
I know. He's home in 20 minutes, right?
Yeah, I got to calm down.
All right, let's calm you down. I mean, I
see. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Debbie,
yeah.
You have no idea how much I understand. You know, this is, I look at you as someone who's been hurt her whole life, that you've got a lot of sensitivity and pain and anger that you don't know the best way to deal with, and what's worked for you is to lash out, and that keeps people in a safe distance from you, you feel. And when Howard Stern comes calling, which is the greatest radio program in the world, you start going to places, you start getting pictures taken, you start getting fans, and it
feels
great.
Yeah, I have
great.
People like me that don't even know me, and they're all jumping up. Debbie, we get your autograph? Can we get your autograph? And I'm like, well,
Debbie,
people can really like me. Maybe I'm doing something good for my life once. You know, maybe I'm doing a good thing for once. I'm making people laugh, and they took that away. They took that away from me now.
Now
I can't make anybody laugh no more. And I feel like a piece of crap.
Well, you're not a piece of crap, Debbie. Listen to me. You're not a piece of crap.
I am.
No, you're not. You're just in a fog, and you see things the way you see things, and it's understandable. You know, you don't have to apologize for it. Everybody is a collection of experiences. These are yours. But
I will
make
them the
right
rest of my life now. I swear I will get the word out about how terrible this show really is. And I hope
that
being exploited, that are sick, they need to stand out and fight the cause with me. Because that's my new mission, now to take our town one day at a time.
Well,
I will make sure I will get the word out about him if I live as long as I live. What a nasty bunch of fucks these people really are, to use people that are sick. And then toss them out like they're crap at the end. When they're done with them, they're washed up. Oh, I wasn't funny anymore. Get rid of me. Toss me to the curb, you know. But if I was one of their little suck-ups, I guess, Marianne or Bobo, they wouldn't have done this to them. They would have fucking told them and been nice to them. They would have been mean to me since the day I got in that show. Not once did they ever try to talk to me civilly, these fucks, you know. Not once. That Gary won't even fucking answer any of my calls, even before this shit happened. But I know he talks to the other fucking whack packers on that show. Because everybody tells me Alice is not even on the show, but he returns her calls.
Debbie, we won't call
I don't
want to
get me going on this, because
yeah,
I'll get sick.
Let's stay calm. When you feel
and then they got this 6 foot guy on this show. He went off.
He's crazy.
And was in a jail recently for swinging swords. But they're not getting him off the show. They're not afraid of him, but they're afraid of me. Come on, where's the fucking the karma with this? You know, I'm not afraid of that guy. If anything, he should be afraid of that guy. He just had a recent court case.
Debbie, yeah.
I didn't have any recent court cases. My court cases were all in my past. Just that, my past. And I wish I never left them stupid things about my past on their machines, because I think they couldn't deal with it. They couldn't take it. They got scared.
Yeah, I think you scared them, Debbie. I think when you talked about stabbing
them.
Yeah.
Now they're
afraid
I'm some kind of fucking whack psycho fucking nut. They can go
but you
fuck
can understand
themselves.
If they're scared, that they would be like, okay, we don't want Debbie here. Let's take a break. I mean, you can understand their side of it too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they could have did it that. They could have said, Debbie, take a break. We think you know, you're not in your right self right now. Like, you're just not acting the way it's happy. Something's not making you happy on the show. Maybe you need a break. I would have took the break because I was ready to leave that time, Andy. I was ready to leave. Like I said, I was going to leave. I just didn't know I want to be banded like an animal to be portrayed like a sick person, you know? It's like horrible, you know? Like, I used to like these other shows, America's Got Talent, and I won't even watch it, crap. I won't even listen to Howard. I used to get up in the morning while I was on that. I didn't go on that phone line a lot, but I used to get up to wake up in the morning and listen to Howard like an idiot. And now it's like, it's the worst feeling because now I got to get up and I can't listen to Howard no more. You know, so now I get up and I take my long bike rides, try to break my day away, you know, trying to get my life going again. And it just hurts me because, like, I enjoyed being, you know, Debbie the Pet Lady on the show, and now I can't be the Pet Lady on the show. And I don't even feel like I'm a Pet Lady anymore. They just made me feel like an animal.
Well, Debbie, you're not an animal. We got to calm you down because your son's going to be home soon.
Yeah, I know. We're going to have to cut this soon.
Yeah.
But,
did
I just want to thank you for taking time. I want to explain everybody out there because I do have some good fans.
You do?
You know,
I'm one of them.
There are some sick fans that got jealous because I got on this show. But, you know, I wanted to let the fans know what's really going on, because some people don't think it's really true that they took me off the show, that they blocked me. But, yes, they did block me. I'm not allowed to call into any of their shows or other Cyrus radio shows. I'm blocked from the building. I'm blocked from everything, you know, just like an animal.
So
they made me feel like this animal. So now I'm going to break my revenge and act like the animal and hate on them because they really destroyed my inside.
Don't do that. If you could listen to me for 1 second, just listen to me. Don't do that. I think if this situation, if you could learn anything from it, is that when you do get angry and you lash out, that things don't work out for you. I mean, now you're off the show. The thing you need to start doing is realizing that you don't need to lash out and be angry at people anymore. Nobody's going to hurt you now. It's a safer time. If you could tell people, like when you did this interview is great. You said how you felt. You talked about feeling like an animal. You didn't really flip out. You calmed yourself down. This,
I'm
going to
let you all know what the show is really does to people.
Right, but don't do it out of anger, Debbie. Do it because they took advantage of you, and it's
they
wrong.
They take advantage of everybody. They use people, they suck them in, and they
right.
suck them out.
Right, and you've been hurt. This isn't even about anger, like, fuck these guys, I'm going to, you know, make them pay back. The truth is, they hurt you, and they dumped you, and you feel hurt, and that's okay to say. It's not weaker than anger. It's actually braver than anger to admit when you've been hurt, in my opinion. And I think you have every right to feel hurt. The truth is, they found you, they know that you had a temper, they told you to call in their machines, they piss you off on purpose, you get angry, they get good radio, then you get angry. John Lieberman knows this about you. He says to you he's going to threaten your kid and take your pets and kids away, knowing you're going to flip out. Of course you flip out. You leave a shitty message like you've always done, and then they take the message and say they feel threatened and throw you off the show. I don't understand how someone like you, Debbie, and please don't take this the wrong way, I don't mean this condescending, but I will say, you know, you don't know the rules as well as they do. So they know you don't know the rules. They know that you're in a little bit of a fog about certain things and that your anger confuses
you.
They
never explain how to, you know, they don't give a rule book when you're on the show. They don't give
you
a set of rules to say what you're allowed to do, how far you're allowed to take things on the
right,
show.
Right, and you don't know.
You know,
you
if
just
they
know
call
when
me
you
at
get
any
mad.
Time, gave me a rule book and said, hey, Debbie, we don't take threats here. You can't do this. You could just blah, blah,
right.
blah, blah, blah. I would have fucking known, you know? Like, I didn't
right.
know this stuff. I'm a
exactly.
machine.
That's exactly right. You just did what you always
or
done.
Anything.
You did what you always
yeah,
do.
Well,
you
yeah,
left
I left, all, you got to hear some of the shit that they probably don't even play, because I left
right.
many of numerous stupid, crazy messages.
Of course, and they know that you're not going to hurt them. They know you just scream, and the next day you're Sweet Debbie again. And everyone knows
yeah,
that.
And
I know
calm
about
down.
You.
They know. I'm like
yeah.
a whole other person. I calm down. I got to go. It's like a boss.
You're not
going
to go there and stab anyone, right? You're not going to run in there.
No,
and kill
of course.
Yeah. Oh, come on. I mean,
you're
right.
That's
if you
the last thing. As miserable as my life is, you know, as much as I suffer, I'm strong today, you know, because like I said, I got my kid. He keeps me strong. He keeps me my sanity, I think, more than anything in this world, you know. And I he needs me, you know. So do you think, I mean, as mad as I get in the streets, I go off. I go off everywhere. This is not the only place I go off. I go off. I yell at people. It's not like people think I'm an act, but I don't. I'm in the streets. My son is scared to go out with me. He thinks I'm going to go off, yell at people. But that's how far as I go. I yell. I scream. They look at me like I'm on insanity. I scream back at them. And that's it. I leave. You know?
Right.
I know.
You don't hurt anybody.
That I'm not going to ever hurt anybody. You know? And I'm so sick of people acting like because, oh, I was in jail one time. Oh, you don't know the real story behind that. And I was very young. I was in my 20s. I was very young. It was a very thing I really don't want to get into. But it was Howard was a decent guy. He would have sat me down and gave me time instead of putting my dirt out on a fucking newscast anyway. You know, they ruin me basically by always trying to make me look like I'm that fucking nuts. And then when, you know, when they had this fan network site thing, they would act like I'm the only one that's going to go off that they're afraid of. Like, I'm going to go off and hurt Howard. That Dr. Drew said he was afraid, scared of me. So I'm sure with all these people being afraid of me, putting this thoughts into Howard's head, that's what possessed him to do the block. They got worried that like I was gonna hurt somebody on the show.
Let me tell you something,
Debbie.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm never gonna know because they're not gonna tell me the real truth.
They won't even answer my call.
I know, but.
They're not going to answer my calls.
They're not answering my fucking calls. They're not answering you. They won't answer anybody. You can all tweet them. Everybody out there in the world, you can tweet Howard. You can tweet all the Stern people. They're not going to answer any questions about me because they want everything under hush because they're afraid to tell the truth why they got me off the show. That's the real reason.
I'm with you. I mean, it's not going to happen anytime soon.
And they wanted all of me hush-hush because he doesn't want to look like the bad guy. Why he removed me off the show?
Well, he looks like the bad guy here.
No,
he in this case he was wrong, and there's nobody that's going to agree with him on this. I'm telling you, I know this interview second by second. I'm telling you. You know, Debbie, you have to go, but I will tell you one thing. Listen to you on Stern all these years. I never once.
No,
you were great.
You know, I've been
going
through a lot right now.
No, you could.
I wanted to talk on the air because I wanted to let everybody know the real reason what's going on with this because everybody's in the dark because they won't mention it. They won't even bring it up on the show. They won't even bring it up because they know what they did to me was not right. They know how they handled this was not the right way to do it. And they know that. And I just hope they live with that on their conscience, that they even have consciousness, because I don't even think they even have a conscience. But maybe if I was one of their regulars that they really liked, that they wouldn't have done this. I know that for sure. But, you know, because I was not one of the regulars that they liked it because I was so mean to them, they figured, fuck it, you know. I was kissing Howard's ass, being all nice to Howard. Hi, Howard, I love you, blah, blah, blah. I can't be like that. I'm me. You know, you can't change me to be who I'm not, you know. This is how I am. But I try in my own ways to let them know I like them. But that's the best I can do, you know.
Well,
and
Debbie,
I
love you.
Make them want to keep me on the show, that's fine. You know, because they got to live with that on their conscience. And one thing I'm going to say, I do have a lawsuit. I can't get into it. I do have a lawsuit. I'm going to court, and I'm going to get my story out, what these people do to people.
Well, listen, Debbie, I listened to you on that show for 2.5 years, and I knew the whole time. And I suspected, and I was right, that you are a sweetheart and a caring mother.
And I'm never
going to
go. Like I said, even if you ever called me, I'm done. I couldn't even go back on that show after what they did to me.
Yeah, you shouldn't go back on that show.
The pain was horrible, what they did to me.
Don't go back on that show.
I'm done with it all. Actually, I'm probably going to be done with this net, everything, because I'm just too done with it all, you know? But thank you so much for having me.
No problem, Debbie. Thank you so much for calling in.
I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me about this. And thank you
for
being a fan who tried to understand me a little bit because not too many people. Everybody says, I can understand you. I can relate to you. I'll be your friend. I won't turn my back on you, but as soon as I flip on people, they all run for the hills, you know? And that's why I am alone today, because nobody can deal with my moods. I'm lucky that, like I said, my son deals with me at times, you know?
Well, Debbie, I will tell you this. If anything, I don't know if you're interested, but I can take tremendous amounts of verbal abuse. I was raised in it. There's no way you could ever flip me out and go anywhere, just for the record. I know I'm just a shitty podcaster and not as exciting as the Howard Stern Show, but you're always safe here. Okay. I love you, Debbie. Bye. I love that woman. I don't care what anyone says. Fuck.
Hello?
You know, I know there's a lot of people out there that will say that, you know, she had this coming. She threatened him. I think the message was, I'm going to fucking stab you. But you got to discern things a little bit. You got to know how to separate veiled threats from just venting. And Debbie's obviously a venter. I find it obvious. Maybe I'm.
Jen, are you there?
You know,
Hello.
That one just breaks my heart. She fucking breaks my heart. And I know a lot of people are gonna listen to this and say that Debbie's a loon and fuck her, and I know those are out there, but you know, maybe people don't have their eyes open enough, because what I'm seeing is a woman who's been hurt her whole life and doesn't have the skills to cope properly, and I see her getting taken advantage of. And I know, yeah, she's on my show, and I know that probably people think, how can you say you're not taking advantage of her when you're interviewing her? But, you know, Debbie isn't the only person in the world like this. There's a lot of people hurting like this that we pass by on the streets every day. You know, they scare us. They make us uncomfortable. We prefer them locked up, or, you know, unless you're Ronald Reagan, you prefer them on the street. We think that their brains are broken, and the truth is they're just people that have just really been abused and traumatized, and they don't know better, and you know, they don't get our compassion at all. Nobody has compassion for Debbie, and I think that's just really sad. Okay, I'm not gonna go on any further. I don't want to be a little bitch. Wow. All right. Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Welcome, Jen, am I on?
You are on.
All right. Hey, guys. Welcome to the show. I know that was a tough interview for a lot of people. I was following the tweet flow and whatnot. Debbie is mentally ill. She's on Howard, and, you know, she needs a voice, and she needs room to talk. And I know sometimes it gets exhausting and frustrating, but have a little compassion. I think what the Stern Show did to her was wrong. I don't necessarily think that blocking off the show for threatening to stab was a bad call, but, you know, you got to just remember they poke a mentally ill person and then get upset when they don't like what they say, and I just think that's fucked up. But enough of Debbie. How you doing, Jen?
I am just hanging in there. How about you?
I'm good. Is Susie here or no?
Yeah,
hello.
We got Susie. I've like
hey.
Muted and unmuted her about 40 times, so she's probably got whiplash.
Hello,
I'm
friend.
Really excited. Hi, Susie. So I left. I'm on actually in the car with my wife right now on my iPhone. If I sound weird, this can be a little bit of an odd show. We left to be out of town and we got stuck in traffic, so. Bear with me. If I drop calls, you two girls will earn your paychecks today because you'll have to carry the show.
You send them, please.
Yeah, exactly. There's no paycheck. But anyway, we're getting ready for Talking Cannon, who's going to call in about 8 minutes. I know that he's got probably more haters than even me or Debbie the Pet Lady, so my Twitter timeline is on fire. This guy just pisses everybody off, and I've got some theories about him. I'm not so sure he's as bad as everyone says, but I can't be sure, so I'm going to let him talk. He'll call in about 8 minutes. But just, if this is the first time you listen to the show and it's confusing, basically, go rent One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and I'm Jack Nicholson. And basically, I'm surrounded by mentally ill people who I continually tell they're not crazy and take them fishing. So it's a little weird. It's a little emotional and draining, but I think, you know, I'm excited to talk to Todd. How are you guys doing? Hello?
Oh, do I
Did
go?
I drop out?
Well, like, what's our
yeah,
order
remember?
Today?
Well, we got a few minutes to kill. I
you know what, Jake, I want to tell you one thing about that interview, first of all, is that's
yeah.
the closest I've come to crying in a long time. I don't know why. I think some people think she's just crazy. She is, but... she's just, I feel for her, and that I get it, like, people are picking on her to profit off of her, and she doesn't mind making the money for people picking on her, but all of a sudden, she went too crazy for them. Like, it just seems so sad, and her life does sound so sad. So I hope
I
you helped her.
Like
you did great.
Well, thank you. I mean, people, you know, Debbie's a you know, she's, if you listen to Stern Show, she's a bitch. So it's very hard to garner sympathy when you're constantly threatening to stab people through the face. You know what I mean?
And I did not almost cry.
No, you're probably more normal. Like most people that are listening, I saw on Twitter, is like, this person's crazy. She's get her off.
Yeah,
but,
come on.
You know,
but look at me. The only time I soften up is for a crazy person. Great.
Yeah, exactly. Well, me too. I mean, I got choked up at the end. But Susie, you don't have the sympathy that Jenna.
No, that's absurd. We grew up with some ways that we could relate to that, in not so many words.
Well, Susie, you think she's faking it?
I just don't understand why. Oh, no, I think it's really real, but I don't know why I'm supposed to feel sorry for her about the Howard Stern thing. That's the whole gimmick. I don't get it.
Well, yeah, I don't think getting off, kicked off the Howard Stern show is really even that bad. I mean, when I became friend, quote unquote, with Debbie, I sought her out to tell her to get off the show.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm a huge Stern fan. Everyone knows that. The guy's my idol, but there's one thing of like, you know, Talking Cannon, for example, I might go off on him a little bit today if it goes that way. And it's one thing to yell at people or make an ass out of someone who's an asshole. But, you know, Debbie's, you know, ill. And I just think they're taking advantage of her. So the issue is not that we have to feel sorry for getting kicked off the show. The issue is that there's a woman who's, you know, sick and she's being poked, and exploited for entertainment, and she got a little taste of it, and all of a sudden, like, the part that made me break down the most in that interview is when she was talking about her son growing up and her grandkids, and that she wanted them to be proud of her, that their mom or grandma was somebody, and, you know, to her, she's a somebody on that show. The rest of us, she's the crazy lady that we all want to kind of poke at, you know, but this was, like, her legacy, and she felt really connected, and when she starts talking about people asking for autographs, you know, she got choked up. And I mean, just imagine you're crazy. You're living off government money. You're in a house with a bunch of animals. You're screaming at the wall. And then all of a sudden you're, you know, like a minor celebrity. And you know, Debbie obviously doesn't really think people like her. And all of a sudden people love her. And they just take that away and it's just freaking her out. But no, I don't think the issue is that she's off the Howard Stern show. I think
She talked about for 20 minutes.
Yeah, well, she's very upset about it. It's not like Debbie's not in a position where I can sit her down, Susie, and you know, give her advice on life and the do's and don'ts and you know, big picture. She's not a big picture kind of person. You know, she's very reactive and very emotional. So getting kicked off the show, that's touching so many things for her about being abandoned.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So have some compassion, Susie. Jesus.
I'm dead inside,
ow.
Okay?
I know. I'm glad. It's really sad. Remember when you were on the show the first time, Susie, we brought you in to be our moral compass, and now me and Jen are crying over the crazy lady, and you're like, come on.
Yeah, but I think that I think a lot of your listeners are thinking what I'm thinking, so somebody has to say it.
I think that's true. I mean, Jen and I are, you know, we really rarely have compassion, so maybe this is just unusual for people.
Right.
But I don't know. It's enough Debbie talk. Who thought Todd Kincannon would be brought on a show to lighten the mood?
I know, right? He should be calling in about 3 minutes, and we already have a few calls on hold for him, so this should
what
be good.
What is his profession?
Todd, I'm going to let him defend himself, but I will tell you, Todd Kincannon is probably the most offensive tweeter that I've come across, and I think most people would agree.
I can read a couple while we wait for him. Oh, what does he do?
Yeah, I want to know how he makes money.
That's what we're going to talk to him about. I honestly don't know, and there's a lot of theories about Todd. I think he's a lawyer. He's become kind of a caricature because there was a while there where a lot of people thought he was head of the Republican Party in North Carolina, and that's when I think most people were upset by his tweets, but I don't even think he's involved in the party at all, and we're going to get to the bottom of that. But I happened at this point. I know I make a lot of people mad. I happen to think Todd is really funny. I started following him. I got people warning me about him, saying you've got to check this guy out. He's wishing a soldier was in a body bag, and you know, he said horrible things about Trayvon Martin, and so
yeah.
I started following him because I was going to, you know, do my benevolent bully thing and shame this guy. And I can't help it. I love the guy. I think
that's what
do
you love about
him,
Jake?
What's that?
What do you love about him?
Well, I love the idea of him. Now, if he's for real and he's really this horrible, then I don't like him. But I have the feeling that he's, you know, he knows how to Twitter. I have a feeling he uses this as a medium. I think he's not involved in the Republican Party or a political speaker on any level, and he just says offensive tweets. Now, if anyone turns on their Twitter feed for 30 seconds, you'll see the word cunt in the first 10 seconds, butt rape, hookers and trunks, murder. I mean, that's kind of how Twitter is. So, Todd?
We have him on hold right now.
Oh,
did you want me to read any tweets
before
we throw him on, or you want to just bring him right on?
Let's bring him in, because I want to find out who he is first before we get to the tweet.
All right, here he is.
So hit him for me. Todd, are you there?
I am indeed. How you doing?
I'm really excited. I apologize right off the bat. I am stuck in traffic and on an iPhone. I don't have my computer in front of me. So it's going to be a little disorganized for the first 5-10 minutes before I can switch. I don't have a lot of facts and research I've done. So anyway, how are you, first of all?
I'm doing great. I'm doing absolutely great. I'm, just trying to – just got married, just moved. A lot of work involved in that. And my Twitter frequency's been down some because I've been, you know, busy moving stuff and killing spiders and just all these various fun things you get to do when you're married and live in a house.
That's right. The honeydews. Well, I was just kind of giving a little bit of history on you for our listeners. A lot of people on hold are people that cannot stand you, and you have quite a following, good and bad. But my listeners and followers, they're not real familiar with you. So my first question is, what do you do for a job? Who are you?
Well, that's a good question. I'm a lawyer in South Carolina.
Okay.
I handle, shockingly enough, most of the litigation I do these days is stuff that would appeal to the left. I do a lot of consumer protection stuff. I sue the big banks all the time over mortgage foreclosure stuff. I defend a lot of people that the banks wrongly foreclose on, that kind of thing. So, I mean, my day job is very often, doing something liberal like that, although I also represent a lot of political people. I handle a lot of political litigation, and that's that category of people are Republican. So, but I tell you, I used to do a lot more political stuff years ago, but I don't do it as much anymore because there's more money to be gotten suing banks than representing politicians. So, you go where the money is eventually, and that's what I've been doing. But I also used to be executive director of the South Carolina Republican Party some years ago, and before that was the general counsel of the party. So I used to do a whole lot of politics. Don't do quite as much anymore, and I like it that way. I'm enjoying life these days, but that's me.
And you are, for real, a Republican.
I am an actual Republican. I am a real live actual Republican, and although I'll tell you this, the Republican Party is almost as bad as the Democratic Party. I'm a Republican only because there's not anything better to be.
Gotcha. So you are, because one of my theories is from following you is that I have originally thought you were a parody account. You and I have this brief discussion. Because you go into talk, people are like, you've got to see this guy, and I check in, and, I'm angry. You should have, a list of emotions people go through when they follow you on Twitter, because I think it's similar to mine. I got angry, and then I started reading, and then I just started giggling, and I didn't want to. Then I sort of got mad at myself for giggling. And then the more I reached, I thought, okay, this guy could possibly be, a left-wing guy who's posing as a right-wing nutjob.
That's funny. I get that a lot, and I'll tell you one thing I do. I engage in an extreme amount of self-parody. There are many times when I will play the caricature of some, aggressive asshole 1% Republican, and that's really not who I am. And a lot of it is self-parody and sort of I will play that character from time to time. Not everything on Twitter that I post is what I really think. Sometimes I'm playing a character, and sometimes there's a performance art aspect to it. What I like to do is sometimes I'll say something just because nobody else is saying it, just to see what kind of reaction I'll get, just because I think it's something that people are thinking, but nobody else will say it. And if I get the feeling sometimes people are thinking something, but they're afraid to say it, I'll say it, even if I don't necessarily agree with it, just because I think it needs to be added to the conversation. And so, you know, I get a lot of flack for that sometimes. There are a lot of people that don't understand me, and they don't understand what I do, and they think that I necessarily believe everything I might talk about. Not true. But it's definitely fun, and I like to stir the pot. And so, you know, but as far as am I a parody, yeah, I kind of am sometimes. Sometimes I'm not, and it can get hard to tell the difference. And as long as I know where that line is, I'm good. But other people sometimes can't figure it out, and they end up hating me. But sometimes people figure it out, and they realize I'm really not the devil that I sometimes pretend to be on Twitter.
What's the point of pretending?
Do what?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Susie, and I was just wondering what the point of pretending is. What's the point of sort of going so extreme if that's not your actual feeling?
You know, sometimes what I like to do is to make a point by saying something that is just really out there and looking at what people's reactions are. For example, I'll give you an example. That Republicans are often accused of being racist. Sometimes I'll say something that is intentionally offensive, but in no way racist whatsoever, not racially connected at all, but just something offensive about somebody that's a different race. And then I watch as racism allegations are made, and then I point out, hey, I said, you know, I didn't say anything at all about race. Race had nothing to do with it. And the point is, you just assumed that I was racist because I said something bad about a black person, for example.
Can I read one of your tweets about that?
You can read all of them. Go ahead.
No, just this one, because I think that's exactly what you're talking about. You didn't say a race and then everyone assumed it. Where you said, it hasn't been this dark in the Superdome since all those pores occupied it after Hurricane Katrina.
Yes, that was a reference to the power going out, and the power was out in Superdome after Katrina, and the power was out in the Superdome during the Super Bowl, and apparently that was a horribly racist comment. I don't know why, but
you do know why. You do
well,
know
no,
why.
I mean, clearly, I mean, the word dark, but yeah, but no, that it wasn't a racist comment. There's no racial implication to it.
It was the word.
But
whenever you're typing it, don't you think that as you're typing it, you know that there will be an inference made that you maybe didn't intend?
Sure, absolutely. And the point is, it causes people to examine their prejudices. It causes people, you know, talk about prejudice, you know, racism is just a specific type of prejudice, and everybody has prejudices, but a lot of people don't like to examine their prejudices, and, you know, one thing I like to do is cause people to examine where they are prejudiced, and there are a lot of prejudice out there against a white, Christian, Southern, Republican male. I mean, there are prejudices out there, and, you know, I guess there's some sense that you know, I'm sort of the entitled class and whatnot, so it's okay. I don't believe that at all. I am, in actuality, despite some of the things you might see on Twitter, I'm about the least racist, bigoted person you will ever meet. I have absolutely, I mean, I'll say this, I do enjoy sort of, you know, not racist humor, but racial humor. I mean, I think Chris Rock's hilarious. I like, you know, that sort of thing. But I'm not the slightest bit racist. I get flack from Republicans in South Carolina constantly because I am aggressively pro-gay marriage. I mean, I am just as in the tank as you can be for gay marriage because my feeling is if straight people can get married, why can't gay people? I don't even know why government has any role in marriage. It offends me that government licenses you to marry. I mean, marriage is not a privilege, it's a right. So, you know, I am really not the slightest bit bigoted. But I like to say things that cause people to examine their own bigotry. And there are many times that someone will initiate an encounter with me by calling me a racist and then turn right around and I'll say something ridiculous back to them. And 5 minutes later, they're calling me a honky cracker or something like that. I mean, literally, I can get somebody to go from calling me a racist to using racial slurs against me in about 5 minutes sometimes. I love that. That's hilarious. And the point is everybody's prejudiced somehow, and people need to examine it. And I hope that I cause that to happen a lot of times. I think I do.
I think you do. I do have one question about your history, because one of the things when researching you, and then we'll get back to your tweets, because there's so
sure.
many good ones that they say. Did you ever work for the Republican Party at all?
I did.
Form? Okay, what's that story?
I did. No, I was. I worked the Republican Party. I was a volunteer parliamentarian for a little while at the South Carolina Republican Party. Then I was the lawyer for the party. I was general counsel for several years, and then I was executive director for a little bit at the end of that. So yeah, I did. I don't work there now. I have not worked for the Republican Party since January of 2010. Though people like to try to connect me to the Republican Party as though I'm you know somehow a representative of theirs. I am absolutely not.
Were you fired from that position or asked to leave?
No, I quit. I'd been there for a while and wanted to start my own law firm, and so I got out and started my own firm, and I love it. I'm glad I did. But no, that was I wasn't fired. I quit on my own and went out to start my own practice.
And I happen to believe you for what it's worth, because
yeah.
I view Twitter sort of like an anthropologist, right? Looks at monkeys in a cage. Or maybe that's not anthropologists. What do they do, Susie? You're the one.
Anthropologists examine people, but,
like in the Superdome. No, I'm just kidding. No, and I watch and I think it's kind of fun, because my feeling is people are way oversensitive these days and way too, I call it the pussyfied movement. They're pussyfied. And I find that on Twitter, sometimes when I'm bored, I can say something and veil it in a way that I know it's going to get a certain reaction without actually saying anything offensive. And it's kind of amusing to me, and I think that's what you're doing. And I'm going to...
Yeah, it is. It sure is. That's exactly right. You and I have the same mechanism, which is I love nothing more than to say something that draws reaction, then I can go back and point as to why it shouldn't have drawn that reaction. That's exactly what I do.
And so you... Okay. So... Obviously, you know the pores occupying the Superdome after Hurricane Katrina. You knew that was a good moment when you typed it, right?
Absolutely. I knew that would create all kind of trouble. And it did.
Tell me the excitement as you thought it. Like, you're watching the Super Bowl, the lights go out, and what did you do? You were just looking around at chips and it hit you, or were you thinking this was a good time to tweet because the game's dead?
No, it was the stuff comes to me pretty quick. I don't really write material ahead of time, and it just popped in my head to do it. And one thing I never know what it is that's going to set people off. And in fact, sometimes I'll tweet something that I think will just cause all kind of hell. It doesn't. And a lot of times it's the stuff that I never thought would be that big of a deal that ends up people have some major league freak out about. But the main thing that I found is that is if people write something and like the Washington Post had something about how I'm the devil because I said something about Trayvon Martin. And, they're playing right into my hands when they do that. When they have these just super sensitive, oh, my God, I can't believe he said that. You know, I'm with you. I think that we do have a pussification problem. I mean, if you go and look around at what people spend their time complaining about, it's like we're a nation of complainers now. And it's just constant. And we have this thing now where everybody gets they just get offended, and they go express their offense, and they go try to, you know, if somebody says something offensive to them, they try to destroy that person. I mean, good Lord, it's over the top how silly and offended everybody gets. And if people we also have now, I think, sort of Americans, unfortunately, I mean, I see this now with sort of people I deal with, it's like people just aren't that functional anymore. I just don't know what to do with themselves anymore. And so Twitter provides this outlet, I think, where people go and yell and scream and cuss at each other. And it's just amazing to me how hypocritical some people are, how they get all offended by something somebody says, and they go say the exact same thing in sort of a different context. I love to point that out, too. But I'm with you on that 100%.
I'm kind of confused, though, about because – you used the phrase super sensitive. I'm not so sure it is super sensitive if people get offended by a tweet about a murder victim. I mean, depending on the context. And I don't know. I was curious how you reconcile it with your Christian faith.
Well, are we doing, are we on Todd? Or, I'm sorry, are we on Trayvon now?
Yeah,
well, we have a caller with the exact same question that you're saying, too, is how, I mean, but, so answer, and then we'll put him on, too.
Which caller is that?
Kevin.
Kevin, all right. Do you want to take that now?
Yeah, you want me, well, you can do it.
I can do it. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Let's take a quick call, Todd. Let's take a little break.
Go ahead.
The Trayvon tweets are some of my favorite. Todd, I'm sorry, Kevin, you're on the air, Kevin.
A couple things is, one is, you know, Todd has run-ins with a lot of people. And I wanted to tell Todd personally a couple things. One is I wanted to tell him that I think a lot of people get angry with him, and I mean this, I think a lot of people get angry with him because of petty jealousy, because of how popular he is. And I do think that a lot of people want to be popular. That is not my beef with Todd. My beef is this.
Is this Todd's brother or friend? For the record?
No, I'm not a Todd supporter at all. In fact, I don't like the man because of the tweets that he's made, and I'm going to tell you why. As a conservative Republican, we want people to stand up for things that are right and righteous and do the right things when standing up for those ideals and ideas. And when Todd speaks and says the things that he says, my group of friends, we don't feel like he's sending the right message. The things that he said about Iraq veterans coming home in a body bag, in fact, talking about, you know, how dark the pores are with Katrina, and then talking about Trayvon Martin needing to suck, you know, whatever, for drug money and things like that. My question to Todd is, being a self-proclaimed Christian, how do you reconcile the things that you have said with your proclaimed faith? And I do have one more question for him after.
Okay, Todd.
That's a good question. And the answer is, and I hesitate to compare myself to Jesus. That's the you always run into trouble.
This Jake's cousin.
I told you.
Well,
Todd,
see, this is another murder victim, so that could be a hilarious joke.
Here's the thing.
Good point, Jesus.
You know, Jesus used hyperbole, and
not
I do too. I can be hyperbolic at times, and I think that if you take everything I say at pure face value, you're making a mistake. That's on you. That's not on me. And so, you know, as far as my Christian faith goes, I am comfortable with my faith. I believe that my faith allows me to be hyperbolic. You know, thou shalt not cuss is not one of the Ten Commandments. Sure, there's things in the Bible about that you shouldn't use, you know, words that are sort of needlessly offensive, I think. But, you know,
well, that's
again, I don't want to compare myself to God, but God said some pretty harsh stuff, too. I mean, let's be clear. You know, God roasted people with fireballs and stuff. So it's
is that in the New Testament?
No, that'd be in the Old Testament. I'm kind of
the
Old Testament person. But that's what it is. That's really what it is. I'm attempting to communicate a message, and I'll use hyperbole to do it. Not everything that I say should be taken at face value, and not everything Jesus said should have been taken at face value either. And, in fact, if you look at effective communicators, people use hyperbole. People use sort of they go beyond his parody, self-parody, satire. I mean, a lot of my tweets are purely satirical. So, I mean,
okay,
I'm
so,
comfortable with it. And that's all, okay, so and that's all
you
that
are,
matters to me.
You are comfortable with making fun of and trying to make somebody feel bad with the death of a child. That's hyperbole and okay.
I've never tried to make anybody feel bad about the death of a child. I think you're speaking about a different – no, the person that died wasn't a child, and I think the situation you're discussing is one where a crazy stalker of mine, who is an actual lunatic who's harassed me left and right, got a taste of her own medicine, and you know what? If she wants to not deal with me saying bad things about her, maybe she should stop saying bad things about me.
Okay.
You think about that?
Fair enough, but let me just ask you this then, Todd.
Sure.
Numerous times you have asked and even offered money for my information in particular and for two other people. And in fact, because of what you have asked for and what you have done, your impetus, people have called me and have emailed me and tried to call my work. Now, I'm self-employed, so I'm okay that way, but not everybody else is. Is that simple hyperbole? Is that okay?
I gather that you are Kevin Hitt.
Yeah,
and
that's
you would be
me,
the
you
person,
know.
And you would be the person who said that my father was a methamphetamine dealer.
I did. I absolutely
was,
did. Yes. Yeah, an 80-year-old man that couldn't possibly be your father, but yes, you took it that way. Yes, I admit it.
You actually said that. Okay. Well, so let me ask you a question. Why is it that you can defame my dad, who is not a methamphetamine dealer? He's an upstanding citizen who's never been convicted of crime in his life. Why can you defame him, but I'm not allowed to do any research on you?
Oh, no,
I'm
research is
that.
Fine, Todd. Research is
really?
Fine, and parody and satire is what I was aiming at.
Did
My
I not
question
tell you,
for you,
let me ask you a question. Did I not tell you, in one circumstance, did I not tell you repeatedly to cease contacting me? Did you not get just a little bit aggressive with the communication there, Kevin?
Oh, absolutely I did.
So why is it okay after I've asked you to stop contacting me for you to continue to do it and then to call in on a radio show? I mean, look, I'm not going to call the police and have you arrested for stalking me over this. That'd be ridiculous. But look, you know,
you can't,
because
I can
stuff,
prove that
gotta...
I haven't stalked you.
Oh, okay, that's great. That's great, which is exactly why I had to ask you repeatedly to please stop contacting me. Because
I asked you the same thing, Todd, and you contacted
okay, well,
me
so,
three
you...
times.
Really? Okay.
I said that.
Sure.
No,
sure,
I did.
Sure.
I can put it
well,
up.
Well, here's what I'm pleased about. Let's play the game of what would Jesus do? Would Jesus lie and say my dad is a meth dealer? Would Jesus do that?
No, he would not.
Okay. Well, why did you do it then? What about your Christian faith, Kevin? Where are you? Let's talk about you for a minute. Why don't you remove the mote from your own eye before the log from mine, or the
well,
speck from your own
it's
eye?
Well, hyperbole,
log.
And I'm comfortable with my Christian faith with the hyperbole
and
parody
you're
and satire.
You're lying right now, Kevin. Get it?
How
you're
am
lying.
I?
You are lying. You stated as fact that some 80-year-old meth dealer from Missouri or something.
80-year-old, yes.
80-year-old. Okay.
Could not
be to have
your
the same
father.
Name Who has it? Why could my father not be 80? I'm 31.
Because
you stated
it didn't
as a fact.
Fit.
You stated as a fact that that was my dad, and
no,
you tweeted
I didn't.
That my dad was a meth dealer. Okay,
see,
well,
hold,
you're
hold
lying.
No,
Kevin,
fair
Jesus,
let me
Kevin,
step in. Hold
Jesus,
on.
Jesus
touch,
doesn't
touch,
like
touch.
It when you lie, Kevin. Jesus don't like it when you lie.
Hold on. I'd hate to compare myself to Jesus here, but let me moderate this debate. Kevin's still he's muted just for a second. Todd, I think this is an interesting point on both sides. You're making a good
sure.
case to Kevin. I got you. You're saying you're defaming my father. I'm reacting. But Kevin has a good point. He used hyperbole, which is what you said that you do. So you're reacting to his hyperbole, which is something you told me when we first started talking, that you look for that. You start that on purpose. Your tweets are designed to be that way. So you can understand now that you're kind of feeling the way that people feel about you towards Kevin.
No, but here's the thing. I haven't gone out and gone on a year-long whining campaign about Kevin. Kevin has done that with me. So, you know, and let me tell you this, too. Hyperbole is one thing, but it's another thing to state as fact that someone is a convicted meth dealer when they're not. That goes over the line into defamation.
Well, that particular guy was convicted. But can I just ask you this, Todd? You know what? I will grant you that hyperbole was not cool. And you know what, Todd? I'll apologize to you for that. I will apologize to you and say,
well,
you know what?
I will accept your apology, Kevin, and I'll tell you what. In the Christian spirit, I'll apologize to you for anything I've done that has offended you.
Fair enough. And now can I ask
turning
you just,
the other cheek, gentlemen.
No, I absolutely. And that's what good Christians and conservatives. I mean that. I'm dead serious. I would ask of you, you know, do your thing. And Todd, and people are going to get pissed at me, but I think you're kind of funny too, dude. I really do. I just think when it goes to the point to where people are calling people's works and emailing them and calling them, I think that's too far, and that's really my only point I wanted to make.
Well, thank you, Kevin. And Todd, I think, I don't know if you have done that, but for the record, if you care about my opinion, I do think that's too far as well if you're calling people's work. Threatening them on Twitter is one thing, like Jen did with Matt Chang earlier this week. I think saying I'm going to call your work isn't so bad, but actually calling somebody's work, I think, is crossing the line. Would you agree?
Well, I'll tell you this. I did not do that, but I have a legion of rabid followers, and sometimes they will do things like that. And I have asked people not to do that in the past. And I agree with you. I don't think that Twitter should, you know, unless somebody's on Twitter talking about how they're planning to, you know, kill their wife or something. I don't think that should have anything to do with your work. I think when our generation it gets a little older, right now everybody, there's all this nonsense about, oh my God, what he said on Twitter, let's go get him fired. That's ridiculous.
Right.
That is un-American to me. You know, if you work for me, I'm as Republican as can be. If you work for me and you are a good employee, and then you go off to the Communist Party march after hours, I don't care. Go for it. Have fun. I get offended by political discrimination in the workplace, and so no, I don't think it should ever go that far. Well, I'll tell you this: people are constantly calling my office. I mean, I have actually saved them, and one day I might send them to you to play on the air if you want to.
Oh, please do, Todd. Please.
I have these crazy voicemails from people. People just call and scream. You can hear the snarl. They're hilarious, and I love them.
So jealous.
I always know when I'm connected. When people start calling me, screaming back, they're gonna come kill me and stuff like that. That's fun. But anyway, yeah, no, I agree with you on that 100%.
All right, good. I do have another caller. I wanted to go through your tweets one by one, but we're kind of jumping around. I think we'll just continue with that spirit because it's passionate. But one of the Twitter wars you got in, one that I actually even commented to you, because I usually watch your Twitter wars and eat popcorn and cheer you on. One I felt that you did go too far, and that was with Kathleen Sweets, the psychopath whose daughter did die in a car crash, as far as we can tell. I mean, it's Twitter. And you were going back and forth. I understood you felt threatened. But you did call her daughter. I'm trying to gather myself so I sound offended without that. You call her daughter pavement smear, and I've got a caller who's really upset about that particular thing. That is true. You did say that, yes?
I don't specifically remember it, but sounds like me, probably.
Yeah, I think it was pavement smear. Oh, we just lost.
Oh,
the caller.
Oh, they dropped.
Yeah, we'll tell them to call back.
I'll say a little something about that if you want me to. Yeah, here's the thing. I tend to, and I don't think people understand this, but, you know, and this is maybe not that Christian of me, but I tend to give back in about the same spirit that it's given towards me. And I'm frequently accused of going over the top with people, and I think what really it is that I'm just better with comeback, and I can phrase things in a more interesting or funny or sort of, you know, hurtful way than the way things are said towards me. This Kathleen Sweets, and again, you know, not necessarily a justification, but this Kathleen Sweets person is a total lunatic. I mean, she is an absolute psycho. She is obsessed with me, and her Twitter is devoted to just endlessly attacking me. And so, you know, did I say something nasty about her daughter, who, as I understand it, was a drunk driver and who killed herself in a one-car accident in Nevada? Yeah, I said some nasty stuff about that. But, you know, it's one of those things where I told Kathleen Sweets repeatedly, and by the name, her real name's Donna Messina, but she's okay. Kathleen Sweets on Twitter. I told her, if you'll stop harassing me and telling everybody I'm the devil, I'll never speak about you. I'll never talk to you. But what happens is people, it happens a lot, they come in and pick a fight with me, and then I'll slap them hard, and then they go whine and cry about it. You know, if you don't want to pick the fight, if you don't want me to send something nasty about you, then don't pick a fight with me. It's pretty simple. And so she chose to pick the fight.
And that caller's calling back, but before we go to him, real quick, it seems to me your philosophy, you're kind of a troll, you know, and I mean that in a nice way. Like, yeah, you'd probably admit it. So you'll go out, you'll troll along, you'll look for a response, and then you'll get engaged, and then you enjoy the fight. You like the back and forth. Your comebacks are fucking hysterical, and you say things like, you know, your daughter's pavement schmear and whatnot, and it goes too far. I remember I tweeted you instantly, like, dude, come on. But in your head, I think the way you justify it is that you do give warnings. You do give shots across the bow saying, look, let's end this now. Please leave me alone. And you feel
once you give somebody those outs, if they don't take the out and they continue, well, then it's Todd Kincannon time, right?
That's exactly right. And I'll tell you this. I will never troll an individual who is not a celebrity of some sort. I'll troll on an issue, and I will troll a prominent figure in politics or something, but I would never just pick some civilian out on the internet and start harassing them. That never happened. I would never do that. That would be just way over the line as far as I'm concerned. I once said something funny about Robert Reich being a midget or something like that. I mean, Robert Reich, former Secretary of Labor, he can take it. I will tweet about public events, matters of public importance. But, you know, I would never, if the guy down the street from me had something, you know, got in a car wreck or something and I didn't like him, I would never go on Twitter and start talking about what a dick the guy was. I mean, yeah, that's not me. I don't ever engage with civilians like that. But there are a lot of times people, and Twitter is this wonderful thing where you can talk to anybody. And if they talk back, you're having a conversation. You know, I got in a fight with Alec Baldwin one time. that happens. And so if you're just some regular person and you're not, you know, a prominent person, you're not in politics, don't want to be, but you get mad about something I said and you come in and take a shot at me, I'll give you a little bit of a warning, just goose you gently. And if you want to keep up, then, yeah, I'll fight back. And at that point in time, you chose to engage me. And, by the way, when you engage me, there are like 35,000 people watching. So don't get mad if you get embarrassed after you pick the fight. That's what bothers me the most, is when somebody picks a fight with me and I embarrass them, and then they're all whiny about it. I mean, what did you expect?
That's a good point. All right, caller that we lost earlier, you're on the phone.
This is Catherine Stoddard, and I just wanted to tell you, I wasn't drunk. I only had one beer. How dare you call me penis beer? I need you to just leave my mom alone. Do you understand me, mister?
I'm sorry, did you say you were Catherine Sweet's daughter? Oh, we lost her.
That's not the first time somebody said that about Kathleen Sweet's daughter.
I think that was someone pretending. I didn't understand it, Jen, or anyone, but I think she said, I'm Kathleen's daughter, leave my mommy alone. So, her daughter's calling you from the dead, it sounds like. I believe that was a crank call, for the record.
Yeah,
I think
that's
a crank call for sure.
But you know what? You know what the sin was there? It wasn't funny.
Yeah.
That's what the problem was. Yeah, if you're going to do something like that, be funny with it. Come on.
Well, hopefully they'll try again. We'll just go on our next caller. Michael, you're on the air for Todd.
Good afternoon. I'd like to say that, number one, Mr. Kincannon is no more offensive than a talk show host who's syndicated on numerous stations in the South named Michael Berry, who's a former politician in Texas. And what Todd says on Twitter is really no more offensive than what Barry says on the air on terrestrial radio stations. And the only question I have is, number one, the Trayvon Martin joke, you ripped off the punchline of a 30-year-old Sam Kinison joke about performing oral sex or drug money. I saw that and I laughed. It says, oh, someone knows Sam Kinison's humor. The other thing here about the, quote, Iraqi vet that you supposedly slandered, his name is Prisner, who runs a group called March Forward that encourages U.S. service people sent to a war zone to go AWOL to avoid having to go to combat after they've raised their hand and taken an oath to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Well, you know, guess what? Yes, someone who runs an organization like of that nature, yeah, deserves every amount of abuse they can get. And, you know, people, and why didn't you tell people what type of dirtbag Prisner was? Because everybody thinks that you're slandering some distinguished, honorably serving Iraqi war vet when you got somebody here who's basically what I call encouraging treason.
Well, let me tell you, that's a good question. Let me tell you why. Two things. One, I didn't defend myself too much on that because I was pretty busy that week and I had a lot going on. I just didn't have time to go on Twitter and be like, hey, guys, this guy's a douchebag, you know, check it out. But beyond, I mean, you know, it wasn't a big deal anyway to me. But, and also, I don't feel the need to always defend myself. Sometimes if somebody wants to call me an asshole, that's fine. I call plenty of people assholes. If you want to call me an asshole, go for it. I mean, I don't always defend myself because maybe I'm different for most people, but it just doesn't really bother me that much if somebody has a negative opinion of me. I mean, I really don't care. And so, you know, but on that, this is the funny thing. This is what that prize ring guy did. Let me tell you what he did that pissed me off more than anything else. This is what the guy did.
Okay.
He goes on Twitter and his
tweets.
And this is not a story that's really been told publicly, by the way. I didn't have time to get into it, and it was complicated. And by the way, when something gets a little complicated, nobody pays attention. But I'll try to slim it down a bit. Pfizer goes on Twitter and is talking about how police officers are the devil and how they're all a bunch of awful people. And he said something just really offensive and over the line. My cousin's a police officer. You know, are there dick cops out there who don't need to be cops? Absolutely. There are some asshole police officers in this country. But by and large, cops are not well paid, and they put their lives on the line to go out and keep, you know, crazy people and criminals from killing the rest of us. And so I appreciate police officers just like I appreciate veterans. And so he's out there just viciously attacking police officers, just generally as a class. And so I had a tweet or two out there where I referenced that and then said what I said in response to what he said. Then, and this is what the guy did, he went and deleted his offensive tweets about police officers to make it look as though I just went out there and said, oh, hey, you're an Iraq veteran. I wish you were dead. That's not what happened at all. The guy, I mean, it's kind of a version of Twitter fraud, I guess. He went back and manipulated his Twitter account to make it look as though the attack was unprovoked when it wasn't. It was a response to stuff that he posted that was equally offensive about police officers. And so it's back to the thing I said before. I'll be just as offensive as somebody else, but I don't go over that line, I don't think. A lot of people think I do. But in that situation, that guy actually manipulated the account to make it look like I was just some raging asshole when I wasn't. I was just responding to him being an asshole. So, you know, it's not that big of a deal. I'm not worried about it. But it does strike me that, you know, that's a tactic, I guess, that somebody can use is to go tweet something ridiculous and get somebody to attack them and then delete their tweet and act like they're the victim. That's what he did. And this whining and pretending to be the victim crap, that just, there's nothing that makes me hate you more than pretending to be a victim when you're not.
Yeah, that drives me crazy. But the caller who did call in was talking about how this guy had a website for people to go AWOL. Is that true?
I've heard that, and I saw it several times. But, yeah, he wanted people to go AWOL. He called for the overthrow of the government or something. The guy's like a communist, basically. He's a big supporter of Hugo Chavez. And, I mean, you know, he's not – he ain't my kind of guy. Let's just put it that way. I'm a conservative Republican, and I have intense respect for people on the left who are civil libertarians. But this guy is like a leftist and a statist and a hardcore Marxist. And that's as far away from me as you can possibly get. But, yeah, he does have that website. I have seen it before. I don't remember all the details, but he wanted people to not fulfill their service obligations. And I mean, again, it's not treason under the Constitution, but it's definitely treasonous. So, I mean, yeah, that guy's not – he's not a friend of the United States of America, and that's why –
But your issue with him was the stuff about police. That's why you said wish you came up with it. Okay. I have another caller, Kathy. I seem very upset. Are you there, Kathy?
I'm here.
What can we do for you?
Well, Todd keeps saying how he doesn't cross the line, but you did cross the line with Kathleen. I don't know her. She blocked me before I could talk to her. But talking about her dead daughter is disgusting. I don't care how mad you were at her. You could have gone at her, her job, whatever you wanted to. But talking about her daughter that passed is low and disgusting.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for that comment. Whoa. You know, appreciate it. Okay, well, her daughter was a drunk driver who killed herself driving. Not to be rude, but is that a bad thing? I mean, really? I'm just glad she didn't kill anybody else. And besides, if you don't know Kathleen Sweet,
do you know by chance what Kathleen Tweed just said about me?
Did she talk about a dead child that you have?
I don't have any dead children.
Well, if you did, maybe you would understand.
So it's dead child and then everything else. So it's totally impossible to conceive of the fact that this lady might have said something equally offensive about me that just doesn't relate to dead child. But it's clear that you don't know what she said about me. You're just pissed off about something I said.
No, I don't. I only saw what you said to her.
What you said to her is disgusting.
Whoa.
Well, that's great. But you don't know what she said to me that might also be disgusting.
Maybe
right?
it is.
But,
and maybe I'd tell her she was disgusting.
Ooh, well, why
she
don't
said
you
something.
Call her up and start yelling at her?
I can't. She blocked me.
Oh, that's a shame. Okay,
what
well,
did
here's,
she
here's
say to you, Todd? What did she say to you that
oh,
was disgusting?
Oh, good God. Listen, the lady is crazy. She accused me of I mean, I'll tell you the truth of the matter. It's just some of the stuff is so offensive and vile that even I don't like to repeat it. I mean, he says that I'm like some pervert and a child molester, all this ridiculous crap. And I mean, it's just, it's way over the line. What I said to her was pretty hurtful, but it pales in comparison to this like 6 month long psychotic stalker insanity that I've had to deal with from her. Although, I mean, I will admit, I do find it kind of entertaining. But, you know, what I said to her, was it mean? Sure. But you don't even know what in the hell she said to me. So I really don't understand where you get off calling me up, telling me I'm the devil, when you have no idea, literally no idea what the other person might have said to me.
I don't care what she said to you.
Well, you said what was disgusting, and you shouldn't have said it. Well, thank you. So who nominated you to be the speech police? Just curious.
I nominated myself.
Well, that's great. You know, it sounds great. Yeah, there's nothing that's more important than calling other people to tell them that they said something that they shouldn't have said. I mean, that's great. You're really doing a public service here, ma'am.
What you should do is think about it. And next time something like that happens, think about what you're going to say first.
Well, don't worry. The next time I say something that offensive, I will dedicate it to you. How about that?
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you. Such a nice lady. So, but you don't even care what the lady said to me? Really?
Well, Todd, I know Kathy. She's a caller of the show.
Gotcha.
And her son was murdered. So she's obviously, I think what she was trying to say is she doesn't care what anyone else says because, in her opinion, joking on a dead kid is, there is no equal comparison.
Well, she is welcome to express that opinion. And, I mean, you know, yeah, is it a pretty harsh thing to say? Sure. But I'll tell you something. What this lady said about me is just over the line. And by the way, I mean, you know, it's one comment. This lady tweets about me constantly. I mean, just constantly. If you go to her Twitter account, I generally avoid her, but occasionally I'll go just for kind of entertainment value to read her account. And it's I occupy this lady's mind. I am living in her head rent-free, and I don't want to be. I would like to get the hell out. But no, that's what the deal is there. So, I mean, you know, the other thing, too, there's a line between sort of just critic and psychotic stalker. And I have to tell you, if somebody's a critic of mine, you know, plenty of people said nasty things about me or said they don't like me or something in politics or whatever, that's fine. I'm not going to, you know, if somebody says they think I'm some horrible racist or something, I'm not going to call them and say, ha-ha, your kid died. I mean, no, that's over the line.
Right.
But when you become a psycho stalker of somebody and you go engage in actual obsessive stalking behavior, you know what my goal is for Kathleen Sweets? I'll just go ahead and say it. My goal with Kathleen Sweets is to make dealing with me so unpleasant for her that I cure her of her obsession with me and she can go do something else with her life. That's my goal. I want her to view encountering me to be that unpleasant so she finds something else to do because the lady isn't well. And, you know, in all seriousness, in the past, I don't know, past couple weeks, I've really started to evaluate whether she's evil or whether she's just really mentally unbalanced. I think the lady has serious psychological problems. And, you know, I don't know how I became the target of her obsession, but I am. And I just, you know, this... And I'm probably doing myself no favors here by talking about her so much because this is just going to feed into her obsession. But when you're over the line into psycho stalker mode, you need to have somebody smack you a little bit so that you go do something else. I mean, I don't care what she does. She can go work for the Democratic Party or go to Sarah Lynn's or whatever the else she wants to do, but she needs to quit psychotically stalking me.
All right, well, Kathleen or Donna, if you are listening, I did become we follow each other on Twitter. We've had a few private messages. She started off by threatening to sue me, but eventually I came to know her a little bit, as much as you can know on DMs, and she seems not mentally unbalanced, for the record. But if she is, and she is obsessed, I hope that she does move on. I'm with you on that one. But, you know, one thing, it's just this thing left out there I just want to comment on. When you said her daughter was a drunk driver, is that so bad? I know that that's going to offend people, but what you're really saying is somebody did something, made a bad decision that put others' lives at risk, and they died. And is that so bad because she could have killed somebody else? That's your point, right?
That's right. Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's not driving the worst sin in the world. No.
As a mother myself, no matter how your child dies, whether it be by the death penalty like Jodi Arias, hopefully, or whether it's by a drunk driver, or whether your child's murdered, I think no matter what, it's just something that a parent's going to be in deep pain about, and it's below the belt is what everyone's saying. And yes, she said perverted, horrible things to you too, but somewhere someone has to step up and be a bigger person and just shut up, just like ignore her. Just, you know, do you guys even block each other?
I don't follow her, and I have more than once said to her, I've said this probably once a week, that if she will quit talking about me, I will never say anything about her again. But she can't help herself. And so at that point in time, my mission is to just, you know, I mean, I'd be lying if I said I didn't find it pretty entertaining, quite frankly. But the mission there is just to get her to find this unpleasant and move on. Yeah, is it unpleasant? Sure, it's unpleasant. That's the point. I want her to think, gosh, if I go call Todd a child molester, then he'll say something really mean to me. And I don't want that to happen, so I'm not going to do it. But some people just don't. Some people are just gluttons for punishment. They don't learn. And
child molester is pretty below the belt as well. I think it's one of those ones that, you know, she's trashing character as well. But I don't think you'll ever get her back to normal by engaging her at all anymore. Once you go to that child level, she's
Todd, you know, Jen, Todd is a self-admitted troll, and this is Twitter. And I know a lot of people are going to say that I'm, you know, making all sorts of excuses for him, but he's not on a fucking pulpit. He's not a little league coach. He's not a school teacher. He's a guy, you know, in South Carolina who's a lawyer, and for fun, he trolls on Twitter. I mean, he's not the only troll on Twitter. And
we know that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you, I'm mystified by why everybody thinks that I'm some big deal about all that. I sometimes sit back and I think to myself, why the hell do you people even care? But a lot of people do.
People really thought you were part of, and I did too when I started researching, is that you were part of the Republican Party, and your avatar is you standing in front of a flag, and it looks very official, like the ones whenever you see anybody's political ad, that's the end of the commercial when they say, I approve of this message. So the first, when you read that and then you say something about all the pores in the Superdome, or, you know, I hope their brain splattered, or that, you know, the soldiers in a body bag, if they compare it with that thinking you're a legit political person, well, of course they're going to flip out. And I think a lot of it is that, if I could just tell you. If you were just some guy who was like, and your name was, you know, Trolley McConsulot or something, I don't think you'd get nearly the response that you get, for the record.
Well, the fact is that I totally use the whole, you know, I use that to lure people in to make them think that I'm some super respectable political figure, and I say something ridiculous. I definitely enjoy that. It's just part of it. There's a reason that I use that picture of me, because it does look official like that. So, yeah, I enjoy it. But, yeah, the other thing is, are we really, I mean, as a country, and are we really this jerked off the rack by me saying things that a hell of a lot of people think but just don't want to say? I mean, it's sad. I think that you're better off with people just speaking their damn minds and knowing where people stand, instead of everybody sitting around smiling at each other thinking everybody else is a douchebag without saying it. I kind of feel like, you know, if you think something, hell, say it. That's kind of where I am on things. And And most people aren't like that. And you know, it's especially true in politics and in sort of public life, where we live in this soundbite world where one politician says one thing that gets taken wrong and they lose their career over it. And I'll tell you this, that is driving good people out of politics on both sides, because basically what we have now is that if you just want to do a good job for people, you don't usually go into politics, because there's just so many ways in which you can be portrayed wrongly. Most of the
exactly.
people I think in politics, most people in politics nowadays, I truly think, and I like South Carolina, so I accept South Carolina from this, mostly, not all, but up in D.C., I think local politicians are accepted from this largely, but in D.C., you're mainly there because of the money and the power, and that's it. You're not a public servant. People who want to be public servants stay the hell away from politics now because of all this stupid drama and craziness and nonsense. And so basically, the only reason somebody would get into politics, given all this ridiculousness out there, is money or just a thirst for power. I mean, you can call me whatever you want to. If I'm, you know, making $2 million a year off the government pit, and that's where we are. And so part of what I try to do is to sort of desensitize people from getting their panties in a wad about, oh, my God, that person said something I don't like and find offensive. I mean, I'm so sick of that crap, and I try to intentionally desensitize people to, you know, getting their panties in a twist about stuff.
Who does that sound like, Jen?
Getting their panties in a twist? Are you going to make me on air?
No, I mean, who does Todd remind you of, be honest?
Mostly you.
Yes, and, you know, Todd, you probably don't know my history.
I think you're a little more tender-hearted. I don't think you'd if Kathy pissed you off and called you a million names, I don't think you'd go after her child, but...
When I told Todd that Kathy's son was murdered, he didn't make any McStabby jokes.
Well, and I hope it doesn't go there, yeah, because...
Yeah, don't do that,
I'm sorry. Listen, and I'll tell you something. I hated that lady's son got murdered. That's awful. And listen, if she's entitled to her opinion, then I am just the world's worst asshole. She is entitled to that opinion, and you will not find me go and just have all this, you know, righteous indignation when somebody says something shitty about me. If you have a shitty opinion of me, that's fine. If you say something about me that's just straight false and defamatory, like that I molest children or some shit like that, I will say that's bullshit. But, you know, but if you just want to call me an asshole or say you think I'm the devil or something, go for it. It's a free country. I don't care. And you know what? Nobody else should care either. People should stop getting so damn offended by everything. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Thanks.
It happens on both sides, and everybody gets their panties in a twist about something. And what it does is it makes life suck when everybody out there is all worried.
In a twist, because you don't want to offend women. I'm kidding. No, Todd.
This goes back to your Twitter bullying stuff, though, Jake. I mean, people aren't able to handle certain things. Yeah.
This is the movement I've been behind, Todd. And why, like I said, when I found you, I was mad, and then I was amused, and then I was dead on about you. After talking to you, I was absolutely right about you. Everything I thought was true. I think you're a parody. I think, and I don't mean that in an insulting way. I think you have passions and beliefs, and you understand Twitter, and you also like to poke. And the truth is, you and I do the same. I mean, I've made so many people mad on this show or on my Twitter. So I call myself the benevolent bully. And the thing is, I think you and I really are a couple guys that are looking around, and we're seeing that people are losing touch with reality, that they're overreacting, that people, like journalists, don't even report news anymore. They just report a headline. Everybody's caught in a catchphrase or one-word answer, and nobody has any fucking depth anymore. And it's terrifying. And I think you and I are aligned like that, and we look out and we go, holy shit, someone needs to wake these fucking people up. People need to do their own research. People need to think before they speak. People need to not make me the reason for their insanity. People need to fucking work on their own issues, and sometimes those people won't hear it. Sometimes you have to go after them. Sometimes you have to slap them in the face, so to speak. And I think that's what you're doing, and I love it.
I'll tell you something else, too. People in politics, I've seen this in person. They manipulate these silly little offense crises where, oh, my God, somebody said something awful. You know why they do that? They're trying to distract people from what's really going on. Because every second that you spend talking about that some congressman said the F word or some shit, you're not talking about, well, what the hell is anybody doing for the middle class in this country? You know, why is, you know, the Democrats want to help just the people that don't want to work. Republicans want to help the 1%. And who's in the middle? Who's doing anything for the rest of us out there? I mean, you know, those issues are, I mean, there's so many issues out there right now that if we had responsible media and responsible people in politics that would be being addressed instead of, you know, Todd Akin said something stupid about abortion on the radio. I mean, you know, that's where we are in this country. And by the way, you know, it amazes me how people get fooled by politicians using diversionary tactics. And it happens to media, too. Media gets fooled by this. I mean, they fall for this sensationalist crap. And it's been my experience that most of the time when there's some sensationalist shit going on in the media about, oh, my God, somebody said something, the offensive crisis of the day, it's just a way to distract people from how they're getting screwed by their government and by the people in it. And that's what I'm sick of. You know, every second people spend time behind the devil. Why don't you call your congressman up and ask him why in the hell we have all of these? I mean, I could talk for hours about the problems that the middle class has. Nobody gives a shit. So that's where I am. It's, you know, focus on why all this offensive shit is put in the media. The reason is to keep people from talking about what's really going on. I truly believe that because I've seen it in person. I've seen politicians actually do what I'm talking about right now. It's not some conspiracy theory craziness. I've seen this in person.
No, I think most people are, I would hope that most people see it. I, you know, we aren't the first person people to say this, but you're absolutely right, man. I mean, really, dead on. And what's sad is that they're using it, and they're getting everyone pissed off about certain things and oversensitive to distract us. But the real sad thing is not that the powers that be do that, because the powers that be will always do shit to manipulate us. That's how they stay in power. What's sad to me is that people are losing their ability to discern and to see it and to smell bullshit. It's guys like you and I are fewer and fewer in between. In fact, we're usually defending a joke we made, and the points we're making about the middle class and protecting Americans and whatnot are largely ignored. And I think your last 5 minutes sums you up better than any tweet I could read. I think you're dead on, man.
I appreciate it. Thank y'all so much for having me on.
No
I really
problem.
Enjoyed this. Anytime y'all want to do anything, let me know. And
you got it.
I've been sort of toying with this radio show idea of my own, and I hope to God, if I ever actually do that, that y'all come on mine.
Oh, you know.
Oh, we would.
We'll
come with some racist jokes for you for your show.
Well, that's
well, you
awesome.
Know, I'd
I was
like
talking
to have
about.
You.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say when the we didn't even get to talk about Trayvon, which is one of my favorite subjects. When that court case starts, I think it starts this year. I would love to have you back on and talk about it. I think you and I are probably in line on that one as well.
I hear you, and that's another example of how politicians started just getting into some crap just to make people hate each other. It amazes me how much goes on in politics to make white people hate black people and vice versa, just to keep us all at war with each other. It happens all the time, and it's ridiculous.
It does. Remember, it was a white guy that just shot a black teenager, and then when you start finding out that, you know, he was beaten in the street, and then he was calling for help, and those things were never reported at first. And to me, whatever your stance is on the Trayvon case, the point is, what was first initially reported turned out not to be true. And that right there is more than enough to terrify everybody, and not just this case. The fact that things that are reported now by trusted news stories are not true and not researched, it's just a headline designed to piss you off, which was a white guy shoots a black teenager. They're completely biased and pushed, and we all play along like idiots. I mean, we really do.
And as a lawyer, let me tell you this, as a lawyer, it scares the hell out of me that two people, Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman, who had nothing to do with politics whatsoever, get this whole thing is wrapped up into this big political. It's like Democrats for Trayvon, Republicans for Zimmerman. I mean, that is ridiculous. This is a murder trial. This guy's life is on the line in a trial where there will be jurors. And somehow this case that has nothing to do with politics has become this giant political football for everybody. And as a lawyer, I can tell you, it scares the hell out of me that just a random case that, you know, if it's a case involving politics, fine. Then pop political stuff left and right. But that case doesn't have anything to do with politics. And it is, I think that George Zimmerman, and I would say the same thing if Trayvon Martin had shot George Zimmerman. The defendant in that case is in jeopardy of being wrongly convicted because political people wanted to make a political point. And that is the biggest thing that's the most bullshit you can friggin' imagine, is a guy going to jail for the rest of his life for no damn reason other than somebody trying to score political points. That's bullshit.
Which is happening, not just in this case. I mean, I think we all need to be a little bit more vigilant and just this country. But, yeah, I got to wrap this up.
Thank you.
Now, I could talk to you all day. You know, I knew you were funny. I have to admit I didn't think you were this intelligent, so it was a nice surprise.
I appreciate that. Y'all have a good afternoon.
Don't change, man. Don't take all this thinking shit, man. Go back out there and go piss some people off. I'll be right there with you. It'll be fun.
Sounds good, man. Thanks.
Yep, Kaye. Bye.
Yeah. You know, I like him. I don't fucking care. You know, I like Debbie Pet Lady. I don't fucking care. People can say what they want about me. The bottom line is take some fucking time. Just take a breath. When someone upsets you, just take a breath and just consider what they're saying. Use some discerning fucking reasoning abilities in your fucking brain, and you might end up agreeing. You might like them. Who knows? Jen?
Yes,
anything
sir.
Else? I got to go.
No, that was it, both shows were exhausting for me. I had my emotional breakdown during Debbie's, and then trying to run everything during his was getting a little overwhelming.
I know. We'll talk about that later. We have a lot to catch up on next week. For those of you that know, I just jumped out of a car into a room and a computer, and Jen has never ran the show this way. So you did great, Jen. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I won't be stuck in traffic. I guess we lost Susie.
She did. You know she was here during her son's first birthday party.
Oh.
I thought, what a commitment that was. When I saw her text, she said she had to go back to her son's first birthday party. So happy birthday, Lincoln.
Happy birthday, Lincoln. But since your mom left the show early, she's fired. I'm just kidding. I got nothing left to say now. I'm fucking exhausted too. But, man, what a podcast. I mean, who else can get a fucking psycho and an internet troll together in the same hour and have a fascinating conversation? I'm impressed with myself. I'm going to go give myself a pat on the back right now. All right, Jen, thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you. Have a happy Memorial Day. Are you supposed to say happy Memorial Day? Or
no, you're supposed to say have like...
Have a memorable Memorial Day.
Yeah, exactly. This is it. So, Todd, if you're listening, Memorial Weekend, don't wish any death on any soldiers. Give it a 72-hour stay. All right, everybody. Thank you so much.
Talk soon. Bye.